welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, the 25th of January, 2012. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on The Voice, KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And a big hello to our simulcast partners in Globe. It's KJAA AM 1240. In Douglas and Cochise County, KAPR AM 930. In Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. Also, three places for anytime, anywhere listening: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to one. We'll begin with a commentary on President Obama's State of the Union address last night from Terry Bracey. Terry is the Buckmaster Show Washington contributor. 20 minutes past the hour, Stuart McDaniel will join us, one of four Republican candidates for Pima County Supervisor in District 1, where there is an open seat due to Ann Day's retirement. Half past the hour, the monthly Blogger Beat. Today we'll focus on the author of Blog for Arizona. David Sapphire will be with me in studio. Then we'll close out the show talking about antiques appraisals, which will be the centerpiece for the upcoming Assistance League of Tucson fundraiser. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Well, members of Congress gave Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords a standing ovation and chanted Gabby, Gabby, Gabby as she entered the House chamber last night to hear the State of the Union address. And then today, another very long standing ovation to honor Representative Giffords as she said goodbye to her colleagues on this, her last day in office. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Washington, D.C. is Terry Bracey, the Washington contributor to the Buckmaster Show. In a 40-year Washington career, Terry Bracey has been asked by three presidents of both parties to serve in appointed positions, most recently as the founding chair of the Tucson-based Udall Foundation. Terry began as an aide to Mo Udall, went on to high-level positions in three presidential campaigns and a three-year stint as Assistant Secretary of Transportation. Terry is a senior partner in Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, and he has represented that firm in the city of Tucson for three decades. Terry, how are you today?
I'm doing great. We have a spring day again.
You've got some good weather, huh?
Yeah. Well, a little sad, at least temporarily, to say goodbye to Gabby.
Yeah.
You know, Bill, she is Gabby Giffords is a magical person and a real American hero who's shown us the true meaning of courage and patriotism. And everybody had a heavy heart down on the floor of the House today as her colleague read her letter of resignation. You have to believe that Gabby will be back. Maybe we want to believe it, but I believe she will. She's something very special.
Yeah, two very emotional moments last night and this morning. As for the speech, Terry Bracey, I guess you could say everything old is new again.
Yeah, Bill, it is really interesting. If you read a little history, you know, really what I heard last night was a little bit of Reagan and a whole lot of Harry Truman. Remember, Truman ran against the 80th Congress, called it the Do-Nothing Congress, and revived his presidency and won re-election, one predicted to lose to Thomas Dewey. And the State of the Union has become sort of the central document now in election years that lay out the perimeters of the election. But, historically, what's interesting, we were talking about this, Bill, is you can go back to the first inaugural address by George Washington. And what does he talk about? An immigration law. He talks about, and this is a quote, new and useful inventions and protecting the rights of the inventor. Well, I might as well be talking about China and Obama last night. He talked about a program to facilitate post roads, i.e. a highway program. He talked about protection of our southern and western frontiers, a defense bill. And interestingly, Bill, with the conversation we've been having over the last few weeks, President Washington called for civics education so that Americans would, quote, know and value their own rights.
Yeah, I know. We're really pushing for that, Terry. Every time you're on the program, I couldn't agree with you more because we go back to our own education. I guess you could say it was back in the dark ages, but civics really was an important part of what we were taught in school.
So that was 222 years ago, and thematically, obviously things have changed, but thematically, we're talking about the same things. The other thing I thought would be kind of interesting is to think about where President Obama's State of the Union may be thought of historically. And, you know, historians are always ranking things, and I was sort of looking through the rankings of the different State of the Union speeches that were remembered. Washington, obviously, because it was first. And then you go all the way to James Monroe, where he announced the Monroe Doctrine. And then they mentioned the bitterness of Grover Cleveland, who had lost a close election to Benjamin Harrison, and he formally went up to the House and formally denounced American corporations, calling them the people's masters. But it wasn't until Woodrow Wilson that the president actually went back up to Capitol Hill and took center stage. After Thomas Jefferson, there was a State of the Union message, but it was simply sent up there in writing. Woodrow Wilson seized the moment, and he revived the practice that Washington had of going up before the Congress and delivering the State of the Union speech. And, you know, it's become this sort of huge staged event now. I can't imagine that Wilson would have thought of being Twittered while he was speaking, you know, but
play-by-play on the Twitter.
That's kind of where we are.
Yeah, so of course some of the big ones would have been FDR, I suppose, in 1941.
Absolutely. FDR going to war, then Truman castigating the Congress. And interestingly, historians rank Bill Clinton's State of the Union when he was under threat of impeachment by Speaker Gingrich, to pick a name, and went up and sort of saved himself with a great speech in a State of the Union.
Terry,
I was going
to ask you, what did you think about that remark about alluding to insider trading during the speech? That was kind of interesting.
I was shocked. Basically, the President of the United States was alluding to criminal behavior on the part of members of Congress. Now, there has been allusions to this, and we've read some stories in the newspaper, but I doubt that the President of the United States would make such an allusion unless he had more information and pretty much had that nailed down. So there may be more news to come on that front. I know nothing about it, but I think in a way the speech 50 years from now may be remembered because it was the first time a president stood before the Congress and said that, in effect, some of them were involved in illegal trading.
Terry, I want to bring you back to Gabrielle Giffords and, of course, the special election that will be facing the folks here in Southern Arizona. You have been involved with so many campaigns through the years and been a really watched on what's going on politics here in Southern Arizona. To get into this thing, Terry, you really are going to have name, ID, and money. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah. I think probably... probably, unfortunately, the latter is more important because name ID can be purchased through advertising and whatnot. But there seems to be a pretty rich field of young legislators, some very impressive state legislators on the Democratic side. I don't know the Republicans as well, I think you're going to have, and interestingly, you're going to have four elections within about a five-month period of time. So I think it's a young person's game.
Yeah, that's going to be a tremendous amount of work, putting all those campaigns together in such a short amount of time. And I would assume that if Gabby Giffords does endorse someone, and I don't have no idea whether or not she is going to give her blessing to one of the candidates, that's going to be huge, isn't it?
Oh, I would think so. I would think so. You know, she has earned so much respect that I think a lot of people would certainly give a second thought to anyone that she recommended. Yeah,
Terry, anything that grabbed you other than the insider trading thing that you said you were shocked in the speech last night? Anything else that jumped out at you?
Yeah, vision. It's the president outlined a vision of America and America's economy, which is very much Rooseveltian and very much at odds with where we have been in this era of deregulation, starting with President Reagan. We really may be coming to the end of a cycle of deregulation, which almost always, it has its virtues. What happens is we run in cycles. We have periods of regulation. The regulation becomes excessive. We then go into periods of deregulation. It runs its cycle. Usually at the end of the cycle of deregulation, you start to see huge separation between the rich and the rest of society. And that's a signal that we're going to start the cycle the other way.
Terry, we're going to have to run, and I really appreciate you spending some time with us, some of your thoughts on a very big day on the Hill last night and this morning. Thank you very much, Terry.
Happy to be here.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey with us on the Buckmaster Show. 17 minutes now past the hour on Buckmaster. Stuart McDaniel is coming up next. He's a candidate in Supervisorial District Number 1. A Republican will meet Mr. McDaniel right after we hear from the Buckmaster Show lineup of fine sponsors. Stay with us.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
the RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50-plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
On the Buckmaster Show, in an effort to introduce our Buckmaster Show listeners to all of the candidates running in Pima County Supervisor Race District 1. Today we're going to introduce you to Stuart McDaniel. Mr. McDaniel is one of 4 announced candidates for on the Republican side for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. On the Democratic side, looks like one candidate right now, Nancy Young-Wright. Stuart McDaniel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. You have run political campaigns in the past, but this is the first time that you're actually a candidate.
That's correct. I am originally from the Phoenix area. I moved here to go to school at the university and stayed, met my wife, and worked for multiple campaigns, like you said, working on Steve Huffman's campaigns and Mike Boyd, and most recently with Jesse Kelly. But I am a business guy. I'm in consulting and mortgage banking. And so I've been using that experience moving forward on my campaign.
Of course, this seat is going to be vacant. Ann Day is retiring. This district covers there's a Republican edge to the district.
Correct.
And generally, this district covers the foothills of the Catalinas, goes all the way up to the
all the way up to Catalina. That's correct. Yeah, and parts of Marana and Continental Ranch as well.
What are you zeroing in on? Is business going to be, because of your business experience, is that going to be kind of the centerpiece of this campaign?
Absolutely. And economic development. We can no longer continue to castigate the job creators and expect there to be jobs. It just doesn't work that way. We have to embrace economic development here and in all of that, those forms. Our tax rates are too high here, and yet we're in debt. I'd like to expand the tax base by bringing businesses in. So, yes, I will be the pro-growth, pro-business candidate.
Stuart McDaniel is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He's one of 4 Republicans in the race for Pima County Supervisor. Let's go through some of your issues. You talked about jobs and business development. Specifically, how are we going to get more jobs here in Pima County?
I'd like to see regulations and taxation reduced. And by doing that, we encourage businesses. We can't discourage business creation. You see small businesses that try to expand or add employment, et cetera, and there's bogged down. And part of that is just the permitting process has been very difficult for a lot of businesses.
You also talk about transparency and accountability. There is a move underway at the legislature to, in effect, give some of the smaller communities in Pima County some kind of a say in the bonding capability.
I would disagree with that.
You would?
Absolutely.
Okay. But you do say on your issues here about truth in bonding.
Right. Well, and absolutely. We just need to know where our monies are going. And it is very important that we invest in infrastructure. It's very important. There is a bond issue that's going on right now regarding Raytheon, and we need to embrace Raytheon. That is very important. And they make things that go boom, and they're running out of space. And we definitely need to do that. We need to look at the return on our investment and make sure that we're investing wisely as well.
Roads are a huge issue.
Absolutely. And our highway user revenue funds have been raided by our legislators. Most currently, one of my opponents has voted to do just that, to raid our gas tax revenues up in Phoenix to balance the budget there, depriving us of that dedicated funding stream. And we can't continue that.
You also talk about promoting incorporation of local towns.
Right. I believe in competition with the towns of Oro Valley and Marana competing with each other. And we have one of the largest areas of unincorporated areas. So when we incorporate down into certain areas, I think that's a good thing.
When you're up against now with three other Republicans, what will this race come down to? Is it going to be who is the most conservative?
I'm not sure. I think there's four of us. We've got an activist, a politician, myself. I'm a business guy, and Helen, who's been in and around politics for a long time and ran himself.
Mike Helen.
Correct.
We've got Allie Miller.
Right.
And we've got Vic Williams.
Correct.
In the race.
Right.
So, and as far as Allie Miller?
Nice lady. She's been an activist, started her Tea Party group, she's running her own campaign. So I'm not quite sure. I'm running my campaign. I'm focusing in on the business community. I've had fantastic support so far, and things have been going very well.
The tax situation in Pima County, our taxes are quite a bit higher than our friends up in Phoenix. Why
Absolutely.
Is that? And what could you do?
We're about
what could
three
you
and
do
half,
to change that?
Well, about 3.5% to 4% approximately times property tax times higher than Maricopa County, and yet we're in debt. It's about spending, and it's about bringing in new companies here. And I'd like to expand our tax base, not raise our taxes. We need to encourage job growth here. And that's important. And part of that is education as well. An educated workforce is critical to economic development.
Speaking with Stuart McDaniel, he's a candidate, a Republican candidate for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. We haven't talked at all about public safety issues.
Very important, absolutely. And they need to be fully funded, 100%. I'm not sure what else.
Well, would you encourage more sheriff's deputies?
Yeah. Again, we need to make sure that the pie is there. Absolutely. We need that as a critical element to all of us. Safety, the roads, everything. That's very important.
You believe that would there be money for roads that could be taken from the general fund right now to fix some of the roads in Pima County?
Or no. Where are we going to take that pie from? Okay. The general fund, no, that doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. That's a very slippery slope. We're going to take that from parks, from public safety officers? I don't think so. We need to hold that. We have a dedicated revenue stream of our highway user revenue funds, and that's where that money comes from.
You know, going back to transparency and accountability, do you think that the budget and spending records are not open enough to the public?
I think that sometimes we need to take responsibility for that.
You think Mr. Huckleberry is doing a good job?
Mr. Huckleberry works at the behest of the board, and it's up to the board to give him direction at that point. And if there are issues that the board has with him, it's up to them to talk to him about that.
Stuart McDaniel, where can folks get more information about your campaign?
Please go to McDanielforSupervisor.com to find out more about me and sign up for email updates.
Okay. Stuart McDaniel, Supervisor Candidate, District 1, Pima County. Thank you very much. And as the race continues, we'll be speaking with all of the candidates. We've already booked Allie Miller. She'll be coming on soon. We've heard from Mike Helen. We'll probably have Vic Williams on again. He, at the time we talked to him, he was not an officially declared candidate, but we'll have all of the candidates for you. And we have Nancy Young Wright, the Democratic candidate, coming up. I think that's coming up next week. That's going to do it for the midday portion of the Buckmaster Show, but there is still much more to come. David Safire is with us. Blog for Arizona, that's coming up right after this.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Federal Reserve has never gone this far to assure consumers and businesses that they'll be able to keep borrowing cheaply. In a statement today, the central bank said that the earliest date for any likely increase in its benchmark interest rate would be in late 2014. President Obama argues that manufacturing must be the foundation for a renewed American economy, as he takes his State of the Union economic message on a tour of politically crucial states today. U.S. Army officials say that the Army plans to cut the number of combat brigades from 45 to as low as 32, part of an effort to save money and cut the size of the service by about 80,000 soldiers. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 39 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. 8:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Of course, we are always welcoming your input, 790-2040, 790-2040, if you have a comment or question. At least once a month, we are bringing in a different blogger from Arizona. We call it the Blogger Beat on the Buckmaster Show, and today it is David Safir. David, I am so sorry that I screwed up your name earlier accepted. And called you Sapphire, but it is Safir, and David is the author of a very popular blog site, one of the probably five sites that I try to look at least once a day, and the site is Blog for Arizona. A little bit about how you got into blogging, David.
Well, I'll start out with the blog that was begun just about when I came to Arizona from teaching in the Portland, Oregon area, and it was started by Mike Bryan, not by me. And about 4 years ago, I asked Mike, can I go on there and write about education, which is my specialty and my passion, as well as politics, and he basically gave me the keys to the kingdom. He says, you can write about whatever you want. So there are about four of us who are writing on there. I've always written as an English teacher, it's something I've always done. I've always been involved in politics, and I decided rather than screaming at my television, I would have a forum, you know, and have a place that I could write this stuff that I thought was worth getting out in the world.
And you are writing quite a bit, very prolific on the site. How often do you post? Do you try to get in there a couple times a day?
It would be surprising a day that I don't post. Maybe once a week I don't post, but it depends on the day. This morning I think I put up two posts already, and if things are really happening, I might go on with six short posts, and some days I'll put on one very long post. The nice thing about blogs is there are no column inches. You can write something very short or very long, however the spirit moves you.
David Safir is with us. He is the author of Blog for Arizona, one of the writers on Blog for Arizona. David, there's so much going on, not only today, this week, with the Gabriel Giffords announcement. Did that take you by surprise, like so many of us? I was very surprised.
I had heard wisps that she was going to make an announcement this week, but I didn't know what the announcement was going to be. I am torn about this. I write a column for The Explorer, and I just wrote one that's up today about this. And part of me hoped that she wouldn't run again simply because I wanted her to devote 24/7 to her health and her recovery. But the other part of it, me said, I don't want this to be bullets over ballots. I don't want some madman to control our political system. And I love the woman dearly, and I really wanted her back. But so I was torn on that, and I'm happy with her decision because everything about her, she was just radiant. Everything made me feel that it was the right decision for her.
Let's talk about the lineup of, I think you blogged today. I think I saw something about a Frank Antonori, Jesse Kelly.
You saw that with the cage match picture next to it?
Yeah, that was great. Let's talk about some of these possible matchups, who you think is going to be jumping in. On the Republican side, Frank Antonori looks like he's in, Jesse Kelly. Mm-hmm. Still some question marks about Dave Sitton, the Wildcat sports announcer. What else are you hearing, or who else are you hearing?
I'm not hearing. I was very surprised. I had heard that Kelly was out of state, and I didn't think he was going to be coming back in.
I think he was back managing doing some construction business for his parents' company in out of state, and is back now ready to go, I guess.
I'll tell you, for anyone who thinks that politics is a spectator sport, there can't be more sport than thinking of Kelly and Antonori, two people who wear their military background on their sleeves and sometimes on their arms, and both of them very pugnacious. It's going to be something to see the two of them go after each other. I can't believe that either one will pull back because it's an intra-party fight. I think they're going to go after it tooth and nail, and it'll be something to watch.
On the Democratic side, Steve Farley, who state representative, who has announced, he actually made it official here a while back, a week or so ago here on our show, his broadcast announcement about that he wanted to go for state Senate. Mm-hmm. But now he's saying in his Farley letter, which he publishes every week or so during the legislative session, that if the Giffords folks ask Steve Farley to run in the special election, he would go for that.
Well, he had made a statement like that, I think either in an earlier letter or some other announcement, saying that if he were asked, he would be honored and he would. I really don't think, though I don't know, that he's simply being coy about this. I think he's making that statement. The other part of the statement he made is that if Giffords and her campaign said there was someone else who they wanted in that position, that he would support the person in a flash. So this is not an ambition of his to step up. When I have spoken to him earlier, it didn't sound like he was really excited about doing that. He really loves what he's doing in the legislature. He's one of the best spokespeople for the Democratic Party, and I'm happy to say this time, if he runs, he'll be in my district, which he wasn't before, so I'll be happy to work for him and with him, and you know, it'd be terrific.
Other names, Senator Paula Baud's name has come up, Dr. Matt Hines, state lawmaker. Anybody else you're hearing on the Democratic side?
Not specifically. No, nobody else. And these are all very, very good people. I would be hard-pressed if they were in a primary to even know how to vote on something like that, because they all have such strengths in their certain areas, and they're all, I think, very honest, moral, dedicated people.
You've blogged quite a bit about the Mexican-American Studies program at TUSD. Education is your background. A few of your thoughts, David Safir.
I am wildly upset at almost everything TUSD has done in relation to this. I think they took the wrong tack in terms of going in terms of their position with the state. I think when they decided to simply give in the way they did it with pulling out the books and putting all kinds of strictures on the former Mexican-American studies teachers, but not telling them what those specific prohibitions were, it's just thrown things into chaos. I really don't like ragging on going after a school district. You know, I'm a public school teacher. I think schools are much maligned, and I still feel that. But sometimes I think that TUSD leads with its chin. It just seems not to know how to get things done in the best possible way. TUSD has some terrific schools, obviously some terrific teachers, but somehow the administration seems to make mistakes every time it goes out of the box. They pulled books out of classrooms when students were in the classrooms. With the kind of students who were in these Mexican-American studies classes, did anyone think, oh my God, this is going to be all over the news? Of course it is. You've got to think about things like that before, just even from a public relations standpoint.
Yeah, David, it's horrible publicity for Tucson. I think it was the New York Times had an editorial, I think it's called, yeah, I've got it right here, Rejected in Tucson. Mm-hmm. That was a New York Times editorial on January 21st saying some very unflattering things about our state education system. So it's another black eye for Arizona.
It is. And here we are in a state that has a large Mexican-American population that's not well served by the public schools. Here's a program that appears to serve them reasonably well. That alone is a reason to sit up and take notice and say, what are they doing right? And then if you say some of the things are a bit over the top, okay, let's modify the things we feel are a bit over the top. But to simply axe the program, to simply ban the books, and by the way, I think ban is exactly the right word. I'm talking as an English teacher who looked it up in the dictionary, and it says a ban is a prohibition by legal means, and they have prohibited the use of books using legal means. This is a ban, even if the word stings a little bit. I just think it's a travesty, and I think it's an insult and actually does harm to the Mexican-American community in this area.
Let's talk a little bit about getting back to blogging. Mm-hmm. How has blogging changed the whole journalism scene, David?
Oh, in almost every conceivable way. And if you just look at every paper in the country and the fact that they have their individual blogs and their reporter's blog, and you know, I follow Paul Krugman in the New York Times, but I also see he has a blog. Everybody feels that this is the immediate way to get out there without having to wait for the 24-hour cycles, with being able to speak your mind quickly. It's It's a tremendous asset. I'm not a journalist. I've never been a journalist. I advised my high school yearbook, but that certainly didn't make me a journalist. And I've never taken journalism courses. But the idea of being able to go out there and speak my mind, get facts out there, get people to respond quickly. I get all kinds of emails as well as comments from people giving me information. It's really a very, very interactive form of communication. And when it's used frivolously, it's frivolous, but then again, so is everything.
Newspapers, the future?
I don't know. I don't know if I could wake up in the morning without a piece of newsprint on my lap.
That's what I like, but we may be an endangered species.
It may be true. It may be true. And I don't think that you can say that blogs have been the death of newspapers. I think there are any number of other features. They tend to be waning a little bit even before that. But it's problematic. It's a change in the media. There's going to be some kind of a shift. And I have a funny feeling that fewer dead trees are going to be on people's doorstep.
And Rose, our producer, Rosemary Brandt, I do appreciate your comment. You are 23 years old. And you do enjoy that morning newspaper with your coffee every morning. Bless your heart. I'm glad at least someone young like Rose is reading a daily newspaper every day.
It is a different experience. I read more thoroughly that paper on my lap than I do when I go to the AZ Star site or the New York Times site. It really is a different thing.
I'm old school. I also like a book in front of me, a hard copy, rather than reading it off a computer.
I've gone to the Kindle, I have to say.
David Safir, blog for Arizona. It's very simple to find your site, right? Blogforarizona.com.
If you Google blog and Arizona, it's the first thing that comes up. Mike is a smart guy. That's why he came up with that name.
David, thanks a lot. It's a joy talking with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Coming up 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be talking about antiques appraisals and the Assistance League's fundraiser. Should be a lot of fun. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
This is the Buckmaster Show. Well, the Assistance League of Tucson is presenting a fundraiser titled What's, with a Z, It Worth, featuring nationally known and local recognized appraisers. The event is Sunday, February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel on Alverton. This is going to be a lot of fun. Joining us right now on the Buckmaster Show, Kim Sparling, a co-chair of What's It Worth, and Catherine Barron, an art historian, appraiser, and owner of Catherine's Estates and Appraisals in the Los Barrio district of Tucson. She's appeared on the Antiques Roadshow and will be one of the appraisers taking part in What's It Worth event. Ladies, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Kim, tell us a little bit about the Assistance League of Tucson. This is a nonprofit that we've been supporting here for the last year on the Buckmaster Show. You folks do some very good work. Tell us specifically.
Thank you. Well, we've been serving the community of Tucson for more than 50 years. We are unique in that we're an all-volunteer organization, from our CEO to our property and grounds. We do it all. Through our flagship program, Operation School Bell, last year we dressed more than 3,600 children, outfitting them with brand new school clothes and supplies. The funding for our programs comes from generous community donors, grants, our thrift shop located on Alvernon, just north of Speedway, and
it's
fundraisers.
It's always packed, too, by the way. I pass it every day on my way to work, and there are always a lot of cars. That's a very popular location for your thrift shop.
Yes, we're lucky to be there.
It is. Great place. Catherine, you've been doing appraisals for a long time. You enjoy doing it very much. What would you like people to bring to the What's It Worth event, as far as you're concerned, your specialty?
Well, my specialty is silver, but what I want people to bring is something that they really want to know about, a history. It may be a glass sculpture, artwork, something they found in their attic, something they bought at the Assistance League thrift shop.
Never know what you're going to find at the Assistance League. Well, I brought in three items, and I did realize that you were an expert in silver, so I brought in some silver items. Why don't you start with a couple of my pieces here?
Okay. I wish everybody could see what I have spread before me here, because happy Chinese New Year's. It does seem that metal is playing a prominent part in this year, as it seems here. Silver is no exception to the rule. Bill brought in three wonderful pieces. The first of all is a little basket with pierced open sides and a little handle on the top. And this type of basket is known as a bride's basket. It was a very popular wedding present in the late 19th century. The mark on it doesn't have words at all. It has a big T shape with a lion inscribed inside of it. Now, that is the make and the symbol for the Toll Manufacturing Company, one of the very prominent manufacturers of silver since the 17th century, based out of Newburyport, Massachusetts, and that logo was based off their family crest. This would have a fair market value of about $175.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's nice. But now I want to pick up this next one here, which is a Tiffany piece, which is only about half the size. It's a beautiful little elongated nut dish because it's important to serve those nutty guests nuts at your fine dining table. But the mark on the bottom says Tiffany and Company. The letters and the marks here show me that it's around 1892 on the back. But the reason that this little dish is worth $225, which is more, even though it's less than its weight, is because of the Tiffany name. Everybody knows Tiffany because of Breakfast at Tiffany's,
right.
Audrey Hepburn. The thing that really set Tiffany apart was in 1852, they adopted the British standard of sterling purity, 925 marks per thousand pure silver. And that was later adopted by the United States federal government as the standard for sterling. So whenever you see an American piece and it's marked sterling, it has 925 parts per thousand. But Tiffany came first. They do it in a style that nobody does better. So that's the wonderful piece with that.
I also brought in a little vase, a sterling vase, which would be used for, I believe, a rose or a bud.
It's a little bud vase with a kind of a bulbous vase that mm-hmm. has a wild rose kind of done from the inside out, a repoussé kind of a design. They punched it from the inside out to make the rose design bulge out. The elongated top is a little fluting on it. It has no name as well, but it has a interesting battle axe with a couple of X cross hatches on the handle as its hallmark, and that is the symbol for William B. Kerr and Company of Newark, New Jersey. That was their silversmith mark. They were established in about 1860, and we can date this piece stylistically to 1890 or later, but no later than 1892, because in 1892 they added to the battle axe mark a fleur-de-lis, and they were bought out by Gorham in 1906. You've got a little bit of a little bit of a kink on the side there. So this would only have a value of about $125, but it is a wonderful piece of silver.
It really
I
is.
Never get
and we
tired
use it.
Of looking
we,
at
we
silver.
We still use it all the time, putting a rose in there. Kim, let's talk, getting back to the What's It Worth event. This the proceeds from the event on February 12th will go where?
They will benefit our philanthropic programs. A ticket to What's It Worth can outfit a child through our Operation School Bell program with a week's worth of new clothing and school supplies. So, and please come on down because Catherine Barron will be there to appraise.
And another big-time appraiser.
Yes. Oh, yes. We've got a national roster of acclaimed appraisers, among them Michael Flanagan, who's going to be doing the folk art, Raphael Ellich, who does guns and militaria. We've got Linda Dyer from Tennessee, who's going to be doing tribal art and folk art. We've got Edward Silverberg, our own Edward Silverberg, doing the bling, all the jewelry that you want to bring. James Supp for collectibles and other memorabilia. Laura Woolley will rock and roll with the rock and roll stuff. She's out of California and a real delightful person to work with.
So a ticket you should bring, someone buys the ticket and the tickets are $60?
Yes, the tickets are $60 each, and one ticket admits two people and two items. Mm-hmm. So
bring two items.
Two items.
Yes, please.
And Colleen Fesco, I can't forget her, out of Boston. She will be doing paintings and fine art and books.
You brought a couple of other items. Quickly go through them because we're quickly running out of time. This is beautiful piece here.
This is a basically a bronze sculpture that is a copy of Dansis Chryselephantin from Dimitri Chiparus. All you people out there can be just covering your ears because my French is bad. This wonderful sculpture, it's nice to know that antiques have all sorts of levels of affordability, and you can appreciate this. This is a copy done by Mr. Chiparus, who was a very famous Art Deco, Art Nouveau sculptor. This exact piece sold at auction in December for, had an estimate of $14,000 to $16,000, actually sold for $26,000.
Wow.
But yet here in the real world of Arizona, you can get something like this for about $650.
It has a great feel to it.
It does have a
kind
wonderful
of a 1920s,
feel.
That Art Deco. And, and quickly with this piece, Catherine.
Yes, I wanted to bring in something a little different. I had to phone a friend, Raphael Ellich, on this one because it is a 76 millimeter World War II shell that was on the front wave of the invasion of Normandy during World War II.
Wow.
What sets this one apart is that, unlike usual trench art, the artistry is beautiful, but it's very specific. It's the 449th Military Division, Military Police Division. It has the emblem, their seahorse, and a characteristic Chinese chop sort of a lettering. The word France is inscribed upon it, too. So a lot of trench art made from shells. People would do that for recreation because it was boring afterward. They would have a value of maybe $50 to $100. But this one, because it is so specific, collectors love this.
Yeah.
Right. And this one would have a value of between $200 to $250.
Catherine Barron, art historian, appraiser, and she will be among the great lineup, the great roster that will be taking part in the February 12th. What's, with a Z, It Worth event Sunday, getting underway at what time, Kim Sparling from Assistance League?
It starts at 10 o'clock and it goes until 4 o'clock. Please, to buy tickets, go to whatsitworth.org, and that's What's with a Z.
W-H-A-T-Z, It Worth. And that event is going to be a wonderful fundraiser, and we are proud that we could help you out by publicizing it, Kim Sparling and Catherine Barron. Both of you, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. This has been fun.
It was fun. We covered just about all the items that we had brought in. We didn't get to one, but you can tell me about it after we go off the
air. My pleasure.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. It is tax season, as we all know. If you're looking for a good CPA, I strongly recommend Michael C. Flowers. And that's going to do it today for the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be back with you noon to one right here on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.